the meeting to order.
Oh, yeah. He is ridiculously verbal.
Hello. I'm going to read these instructions and we're going to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
You can really read him. He doesn't put on.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. Today is Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. If you wish to become more involved with the Neighborhood Council system and are not on our mailing list, please sign up at the table on the sign-in kiosk. You can also sign up on your phone by texting commission to 555-888. During a meeting tonight, we will discuss items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available for you on the table, I think located just outside the door. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in 1 minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period for 5 minutes on multiple agenda items. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, you may provide your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comment should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand there are applicable laws that limit the actions we may take during tonight's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you have expressed. However, your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Should you wish to comment at this meeting, please fill out an electronic speaker request on a speaker card kiosk for each agenda item you wish to address so that you may be heard. You will be called when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the agenda item you wish to speak about on the speaker request form. Speaker requests may be filled out using a speaker card kiosk located on the table or by texting for those who are listening. By texting commission to 555-888 or via the website empowerla.org/commission/policies-and-meetings. If you intend to speak on any item, you must submit your electronic speaker request prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phone ringers to vibrate or silent. Thank you very much. We will now call the formal meeting to order by having a roll call.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Littman?
Here.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Here. Uh-oh.
Commissioner Derek Kittles?
Here.
Commissioner Ribby?
It disappeared.
Commissioner Ribby?
Here.
Commissioner Regalado?
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. All right. Hold on just a sec. I hit something on the Lillian. I'm sorry. I'm a technology challenge.
It's okay.
I do have it.
Thank you. Okay, so the next item on the agenda, item number 3, is approval of the minutes of the special meeting that was held on January 23rd. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes? Has everybody seen them?
I would so move. Commissioner Schaefer.
Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Regalado.
All right, it's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Regalado to accept the minutes from Wednesday, January 23rd. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Just to make note, Commissioner Regalado just joined us.
I know.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Happy New Year. Long time.
Okay, item number four, have there been any community impact statements filed or any resolutions that we know of? I assume not. Okay, is item number four. Item number five, is there anyone here that wishes to speak on multiple agenda items that I explained before, or would rather just wait till it's, you know, till the one item comes up that they're interested in? Anybody interested in speaking for 5 minutes on multiple agenda items that are on the agenda? No? Okay. Okay, number six are verbal updates from the mayor, Los Angeles City Council, and other city representatives. Do we have anybody here from there? Nope. Okay. Item number seven. Discussion with various North Valley area neighborhood council representatives who wish to report concerns or operations or best practices in their neighborhood. Is there anyone here from the North Valley area neighborhood council that wants to talk about their neighborhood council? Nope. This makes life easy. Is anyone here, item number eight, anyone here from the budget advocates? Okay. General public comments is number nine. This is our first public comment period where we have comments from the public on non-agenda items, anything that may concern you that's not on the agenda. Does anybody wish to comment on anything other than what's on the agenda? No? Okay. Next item is the general manager's report. And I'm assuming that's Mike Fong.
She's coming in like 5 minutes. She's finding the parking.
Good afternoon, Mike Fong, Director of Policy and Government Relations for the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Just a few brief updates from the department. We are working on a homelessness resource fair on Saturday, March 2nd at Grand Park. So that's coming together. I want to thank Mario and Julian for their work and efforts on the Homelessness Resource Fair. Secondly, the Beyond Neighbor Council's workshop is going to occur on February 27th, and it's to talk about how to run for higher office, how to be on a city commission, and how to get a city job. Thank you to Commissioner Atkinson for participating in some of our prior sessions. This session we'll be having Commissioner Wiebe participating, so thank you, Commissioner Deborah Wiebe, for your participation on the event on February 27th, the Beyond Neighbor Council's workshop. I believe you're confirmed, right? John's been in contact with you. Oh, thank you. So so working on that. We're also working on the Congress of Neighborhoods. That's going to be on September 28th, coming down the pipeline. And those are some of the brief updates. We also are pushing forward and on our elections outreach. We do have a robust elections outreach going on throughout the city and have targeted various neighborhood councils for increased outreach in targeting the elections coming up. Want to thank the commissioners for all your work and efforts in promoting the upcoming elections. We have closed registration for regions 5 through 8, and we'll be having a rally in the valley actually coming up this Saturday, February 9th. So thank you to all the members in the Valley for doing that. So the Rally in the Valley will be on Saturday, February 9th, and that'll be an opportunity for neighborhood councils in the Valley to participate and get the word out about the upcoming neighborhood council elections. Okay.
GM has arrived. Are we
Good evening, Commissioners. Gracie Lee, General Manager for the Department of Empowerment. Thank you, Mike, for covering the first part. Some other items that we are focused on is obviously election outreach. And right now, we have three neighborhood councils that don't have a contested elections in the central area. But the other ones do out of the regions 5 through 8. And so now, as Mike mentioned, we've moved our candidate filing focus into the valley areas. And we'll be focused on that. Even with the neighborhood councils that are having board affirmations because they don't have contested elections, you know, we plan to do additional outreach to try to make sure that those boards get filled. These boards typically have had problems in the past filling their vacancies, so it's just a kind of an ongoing outreach effort in those neighborhoods. Aside from that, we are, Mike, did you mention your Beyond Neighborhood Councils? Yes. So we have the Beyond Neighborhood Councils. We are planning another civic university in the summer that will be a 1.0. And we are looking to also make sure that we get some of our data workshops out into the communities that we've had in the past. So it is about continual engagement and in training with the department. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have. Are you able to go to the mic so that we can record it? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kamesh Isola. I'm from Charleston Neighborhood Council. And you talk about the outreach for elections. Can you give some examples of what kind of outreach you're practicing or going to practice?
Sure. So the first thing that we try to do is to engage neighborhood councils in terms of educating them about successful outreach practices. We also gave all neighborhood councils their demographic information so that they could see who was in their neighborhoods and who was represented versus who was not. And then we are modeling some of those the outreach efforts. We are meeting with nonprofits in the area, engaging nonprofits, and our other partners with universities, schools that we've worked with, and we have Ignite LA, which is an initiative that focuses on engaging more women and young girls and young women into neighborhood council system. We also have a big social media campaign. We know that, for instance, in regions 5 through 7, we sent one campaign 4,000 clicks to the candidate registration portal for the city clerk. So what we have seen is, you know, we're working with city clerk on this, a disconnect in terms of signups. So for instance, we know that in one day we sent about 800 clicks to the city clerk website, and of those there is about 400 registrations. And then there was an issue in terms of we think that some folks who registered have realized that there's a two-step process. So we worked with the clerk to do additional educational videos in terms of making sure that candidates understand that there's a extended process. And then we've worked with Public Allies, which is interns that we've brought on to specifically go and do door-to-door. We've done walking man campaigns in terms of getting flyers into the communities. So every community is a little different. We're working on a radio campaign right now, and hopefully that will get out there soon. We've also worked with Spectrum TV, Spectrum Channel, excuse me, and they have run a few pieces on neighbor councils and why you should be a candidate. So it's been a much more robust outreach than we've been able to do in the past.
Approximately how much money have you spent on this, and over what period of time, and what were the outcomes?
So the total amount that we have is approximately about $300,000 that we were given initially, and we were given then some additional about $120,000. Some of that has gone through hiring as-needed staffing to come on for elections, and some of as I've mentioned some of the outcomes that we're seeing is, particularly with the social media campaigns, we're seeing people click through. So we're tracking all of this. We're going to do a full report back to City Council. Each of our campaigns, like for instance, if we do a bus bench or we do some print ad, we are tracking the click to the website. So there's unique website links so that we know which campaign like these folks are coming from, so that we know what is more successful than others.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a question on the outreach. How's the outreach going where you're trying to get more women involved and running for the neighborhood council? How's it going? I mean, have you had meetings already, or are you getting ready to have meetings?
Yeah, so we do, so Simi Park and Jasmine Barbary, who do run normally the Ignite LA program during the year, they've done Ignite LA candidate registration and preparation workshops, and it's a bit hit and miss in certain areas, but we're really trying to target women's groups and letting them know to come. Women's groups and letting them know to come and participate. For instance, we were trying to get into Kaiser has actually a very large women leadership group, and so we're trying to get into that Kaiser, so just to let them know about neighbor councils and that they have the opportunity to run as candidates or to participate in the neighbor councils in general.
Because I just want to make a comment. Last week I was at a workshop, had nothing to do with the department. It was with my organization and some other women's organizations to talk to women about how they become appointed to boards and commissions or how they run for office. And lo and behold, I look up and here comes Jasmine walking in with a whole bunch of really neat brochures. And I'm looking at the brochure, and I said, this is a great brochure. I mean, it's very thorough on how you should prepare yourself if you want to run for the neighborhood council. But as I was looking at it, I said, oh, this is perfect for my class of women who might want to run for public office. it's the exact same kind of outline that we talk about. So that's why I called Lillian yesterday and said, I need 26. So I can, because I was really impressed. I don't like to do a whole lot of reading, but this was really, really good, and I'm anxious to share it.
And
I'll send out some information to my own neighborhood council.
I thought it was
really great, a great way to get more women involved.
I will definitely pass that on.
You can look at it, but you have to give it back to me because I think she brought me the exact number. Anyway, but I just wanted to comment that it really is a great brochure.
Thank you. I will make sure to pass that on to them.
The department can certainly get more. Okay. All right. Any other questions for the
just a comment,
manager? Commissioner Schaefer?
On a personal note, for my neighborhood council, I wanted to be able to produce a flyer for the rally in the valley on Saturday. And Anne Marie said, here's the information I need. And lo and behold, up came a flyer. I said, there's one error. She said, sorry, and corrected it. And now I have a wonderful flyer, so I can go and get them reproduced. And people can sit and hand them out at the rally in the valley. I really appreciated that.
Oh, great. Thank you. I will pass that on to Anne Marie. She's great.
Okay. Any other questions for the general manager? Okay, thank you very much. Item number 11 is discussion and possible action to create the ad hoc committee for the 2019 Empower LA Awards. I think last year, Commissioner Wiebe worked on this.
Yes,
and I did. And are you willing to work on it again?
Yes.
Yay. How many should be on the ad hoc committee? Two or three? Three. All right. So we need to do two more people for the ad hoc committee.
Commissioner Maggie Derrick-Carroll will assist Commissioner Wiebe.
Thank you, Commissioner. So now we just need one more. How about Mr. Rigolato? I mean, it's an easy one. I was trying to think of something easy.
Okay. I will.
Okay. So now we have three commissioners to work on the ad hoc committee for the 2019 Empower LA Awards. Commissioner Wiebe, Commissioner Derek Quiros, and Commissioner Rigolato.
Perfect.
Okay. And thank you very much.
You can have the meetings in the harbor area.
Next time.
All of them.
You can do it by phone, too.
Yeah, we can do it by phone.
They don't have to, you don't have to meet in person. Okay. That was item number 11. Item number 12. Discussion and possible action.
We have to vote on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have to vote on appointing the committee.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We need a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I was just so happy to get three people to volunteer.
Joy.
I thought it was consensus.
Joy. The president has the ability to make the appointment.
Pardon me?
The president has the ability to make the appointment.
So it is just an appointment.
Yes.
I do not have to take a vote because it is the president's prerogative name a committee.
All right.
I knew that all the time. Anyway, so that's the prerogative of the president. So
when will the date be set?
Well, I think that's up to the ad hoc committee to
just call me.
Joy.
When's the actual, Gracie, when's the actual award ceremony?
When is the award ceremony?
It is Thursday, March 27th.
March 27th?
Yes. Joy. Oh, sorry, 28th. Thursday, the 28th.
You should designate
March.
One of them to be the chair.
Huh?
You should designate one of them.
And folks still have up until, we extended the deadline from February 1st to February 15th to submit for the Empower LA Awards and also the Vanguard Awards.
And we usually vote like just right before the day of the event.
Right. Well, the committee meets beforehand to make the recommendations,
sure.
And then usually the day of, we ask the commission to hold a special meeting.
So Commissioner Wiebe chaired it last year, so we're just following suit for this year, and she's chairing it for this year. So thank you very much, Commissioner. Okay. All right. Next item, number 12, discussion and possible action to create the ad hoc committee to establish a policy to define and create standardized guidelines and rules for neighborhood council alliances. Now let me preface, and then you all can jump in. There have been some issues with alliances. Now, my alliance in South LA doesn't have extra groups. It's all neighborhood councils. Some alliances have other groups and other coalitions in with their alliances that are non-neighborhood councils. Some folks had a concern about the rights of other organizations who don't fall under the charter having the same rights as neighborhood councils. That was one of the issues. And so that's what brought the issue up. We had gotten some emails this week, and I got a little confused, and I had to call around and ask. And the folks were mad because we were trying to tell neighborhood councils what they had to do. And I was simply, I misunderstood what the problem was. I was trying to think that we had to deal with non-neighborhood council groups that align themselves in alliances and want the same rights as neighborhood councils. They want to have the same rights to speak before city council. They want to have the same rights as neighborhood councils to submit community impact statements. And our neighborhood councils are chartered, and they have those certain specific rules that they, I mean, specific actions that they can do. So we were thinking, or the issue came up, that maybe we should have an ad hoc committee to find out what kind of guidelines we have. Now, the issue is that really, under the charter, the board of neighborhood commissioners really has no, it doesn't appear, has any real jurisdiction over alliances. But we want to get an opinion from the city council regarding that. I mean, I'm sorry, from the city attorney regarding that. So we haven't, the issue just came up in the past week or so. So that's where we are. We have two different opinions among our board of neighborhood commissioners that maybe we should at least form the ad hoc committee and then ask for an opinion from the city attorney. If there's nothing we can do about these alliances or that we have no right to set any kind of guidelines, then the ad hoc committee is over. There's another feeling that, well, why have an ad hoc committee? Let's get the opinion from the city attorney first on what we can and can't do. And if something comes up that we need to deal with, then we can form an ad hoc committee. One thing that alliances do have is access to Dunn email and the website and a lot of things that other neighborhood councils have. So it's something that we need to discuss financially. But again, the issue is, and we can certainly hear from the commissioners on why refer to city attorney now, or why establish an ad hoc committee now and then refer to the city attorney, okay? I think I set the question out correctly. So, Commissioner, yeah, Elise?
So, is public comment gonna come after?
I thought public comment would come after. You want us to do it first? Should I do it first? Public comment first?
Yeah. Your choice.
Maybe. Do we have public comments?
Okay, I think I have a choice of doing it either way. Public comment first on the issue or discussion among the commission and then public comment. But I'll be glad to take the public comment first, and then the commission can further, maybe that will further add to the discussion on how we proceed. Okay. Is that all right with everybody?
Yeah.
Fine with me.
Good with me.
Okay, nobody is protesting. So I do have one person so far. Uh-oh. Lillian?
Who? Lillian?
Wait a minute.
Lillian wants to comment.
I'm sorry. Okay, so the first person to, wait a minute, where is it? Is it all agenda item 12?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Mr. Palomino? Okay, we wish to speak on.
I signed up for public.
What group are you with?
I'm sorry?
Palomino, Mr. Palomino, what group are you with?
I'm with Elysian Valley Riverside Neighborhood Council, which I'm not representing right now, but also I am the on the steering committee of the Alliance of River Communities, and also part of the grassroots community
oh,
group,
okay.
From Frogton residents opposing gentrification.
Okay.
Okay, this is a statement that we did at ARC, Alliances of River Communities. I would like to read it. Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, February 5, 2019, agenda item 12. Dear Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, we are the Alliance of River Communities, and we are very proud of our alliance for its inclusiveness and for encouraging participation of community stakeholders and organizations in the decision of city policy. Alliance brings out the best intentions of what a neighborhood council system stands for: public participation and transparency, outreach, providing access to information about the city to local residents and organizations. Since our steering committee was formed in 2017, we have held regular monthly meetings within 25 to 45 guests from our regional neighborhood councils and the general community. At each meeting we convene, we have three or more public agencies presentations about the projects coming into the LA River adjacent communities. At our meetings, we facilitate and extend question and answer period. In August 2018, we organized the first River Empowerment Workshop with over 200 attendees, including agencies and nonprofits at our information fair. We maintain our own webpage, Facebook, and mailing list. We send out our own ARC ARC meeting agendas, updates, minutes, and recommendations. A supermajority of the Alliance of River Community Community Steering Committee, 4 out of 5 members, met on February 3rd, 2019, to discuss agenda item 12. We unanimously agreed to oppose the formation of an ad hoc committee that will attempt to establish a policy to define and create standardized guidelines and rules for neighborhood council alliances. Alliances give us the freedom to study, research, and gather information on issues of importance to our region. We follow the governing regulation for public meetings, even though we don't have to.
You have time.
To
time.
Ensure, that's two seconds.
That's the ring.
Two
here.
Seconds. To ensure transparent, inclusive, and democratic participation and self-governing. Any rules imposed from outside of the alliance will undermine our efforts and success as a self-governing agency.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Susan Gorman.
Hi, I'm Susan Gorman Chang. I'm Porter Ranch Neighborhood Council, and I'm also the liaison for my neighborhood council to VANC, Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Councils, Neighborhood Council Sustainability Alliance, and another alliance we're forming, West Valley Neighborhood Alliance on Homelessness. And my opinion is that you should go to the city attorney and get the opinion first whether you have this jurisdiction. Otherwise, I think there's a lot of wasted time in forming an ad hoc if you don't know if you have any jurisdiction. And also, I would be concerned about BONC creating standardized guidelines and rules for alliances without any input. I don't know what the process of getting input from these alliances would be, because a lot of them have been, you know, around for years and are very, very successful. And so I would just really caution, another body such as yourself, making standardized guidelines and rules for some of these alliances that have been working so successfully without any kind of input. I would hope there would be some sort of structure for having some sort of input. But again, I would my opinion is that you should go to the city attorney first to see if you have jurisdiction in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a little point of clarification. I don't think the ad hoc committee would ever do anything without conferring with neighborhood councils. We wouldn't just go make a rule and impose it. So we would always, I just wanted to make that point because you had said, you had kind of mentioned that without getting input from neighborhood councils, and we would never do that. So I just wanted to make that clear. All right. Just clarifying. All right. Okay, next is Carrie Sutkin.
I'm a resident of Elysian Valley, and I'm active on my neighborhood council.
Resident of where?
Elysian Valley, Riverside, mm-hmm. And I'm active on my neighborhood council and also active on the Alliance for River Communities. And as a group, we actually did meet to consider this, and the recommendation says to create an ad hoc committee, but it doesn't say to invite neighborhood councils or alliance members. And they're actually are several alliances. I think we're one of the newer ones, the Alliance for River Communities, and we don't actually have access to all of the things that some of the other alliances have. You know, we don't have our information is not on the LANC webpage, for example. We don't have access to change our webpage. Just to clarify, we do use a group email, but it's a struggle for us. We're all volunteers. We all work through our own neighborhood councils as well, and we really feel that we provide a lot of service that the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment is not always available for, and we try to interface with the city departments, and sometimes we have to do a lot of additional research. So we feel that the flexibility is very beneficial, and you know, come visit and see the work that we do, but each of our regions seem to be a little bit different and have different needs, and so you know, we'd urge you, invite you to come. We meet on the third Monday of every month. Thank you.
How many neighborhood councils in your alliance?
We have 16.
16?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have about 10 that actively participate every month.
Okay. Thank you. Joy, did you want to speak? They had your last name, but not your first name. But because I know you.
Joy Enix Slank, and also ECSWANDC. We were kind of confused because we don't really participate with other alliances. We purposely try to stay separate, so we're unaware of any issues there are. But we're not, and we like it that way. We want to remain autonomous. Any participation we get from Empower LA, done, we appreciate, but is totally voluntary. But we're not understanding, even you guys considering this, when we could go start a 501c3 and call it Friends of Slank, and you guys would really not have any kind of input into what we do. So, and that's where a lot of us would lead to. If you guys are having an issue with one particular alliance, we don't understand, because this happens a lot. The rest of us end up paying for it. And it makes this a little bit more difficult to want to be a part of. You know, I've actually been gone for a couple of years. I took a little vacation. I had a couple deaths in my family, and I've come back, and this is a totally different body, and I'm considering not wanting to be a part of it after so many years. So for, you know, even more of the machine to get involved with the alliances, just to me would not be a good idea. Because it just makes it that much more difficult to get work done. Love your input, but let's leave it at the neighborhood councils and not the alliances. Thank you.
Thank you. I already commented that my South Los Angeles alliance didn't have this problem because only neighborhood councils participate. And when they put on events and they go back and ask each of their neighborhood councils when something comes up that they should support, they go back to their neighborhood councils to get support. So I already told them. Anyway, and I think that, hold on a minute. Is there anyone else that is here to speak on, because I think I got every name on here. That wanted to speak about this issue? Okay, so then, so now it's up to the commission to discuss the issue and see what our next move would be, and I think...
can I comment?
Quick.
Yes, you
should. Before the comment. Do we have any other letters other than the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...one from Catherine McKinney?
I'm sorry.
Or do we have more than those? I'd have to ask staff if we have more than those.
We just got one. Are there any other letters that came in?
I have this one, but they also got it electronically. It did go.
We got one from Catherine McNinney, Skid Row stakeholder, for the record. Who is strongly opposed to any action that that might impinge upon the rights of neighborhood council members to free association.
I got more than that.
Should I read the whole thing?
Just for the record, Elise Rudin, city attorney,
Many of the email that came in are also attached to the packet that was handed out.
I'm sorry, I didn't see any more.
Oops. And then I asked whether or not there's some that came in since this has been... And then there's this one. Mm-hmm. Was this one put out on the table? Okay. All right.
Oh, okay, so we have... So we have opposition from the Steering Committee for the Alliance for River Communities that we have put into the record. We also have a letter from Glenn Bailey, Executive Committee Member, Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Councils, and from Terrence Gomes, President of the Los Angeles Neighborhood Council Coalition. Have all sent in letters of opposition to any further guidelines on alliances.
Since I sort of brought up this issue at the last meeting, do you mind if I speak first in the discussion?
Are we open for discussion?
We were just reading the stuff in.
Okay.
Had to read it into the record on who had it.
Well, I'm really grateful that the folks from the alliances came out today. I know it's a trek. I've been attending my alliance meetings for years, and they serve a critical function. We actually here at BONC and the department and just generally encourage city departments to start with the alliances to help educate neighborhood councils, because it's impossible for one city department to go to 99 neighborhood councils. And so the alliances really provide that forum and that opportunity to share information and share resources and have conversations. And it's really encouraging when I go to an alliance meeting and I see, the senior executives from DWP or senior executives from planning or DOT attending and talking about what's going on. And so I think that this agenda item sparked a really important, it was really meant to invite a conversation, not to clamp down on free speech or create some mysterious body that's all of a sudden gonna create rules and guidelines. I wanna be clear, like anything that an ad hoc committee would create, just like anything else that BONC does, just like we did with Neighborhood Council Reform Ad Hoc Committee, just like we did with the Agenda Setting Committee, would come back before the commission, and we'd have multiple meetings, public meetings on it for people to comment on. But really what I think actually this is about, and why I think folks were sort of led to believe as something else, is an opportunity to strengthen alliances. A lot of the feedback that I've been getting is that from alliance leaders is there's an interest to be able to submit a community impact statement on behalf of neighborhood councils within an alliance and then be able to speak at city council meetings on behalf of that alliance. So this is a real chance or opportunity to strengthen the work of the NCs by creating a stronger, collaborative, and coordinated group. But what would that mean, and what would both the city council and the department need for an alliance to be able to certify that this decision made by the alliance was made in a way that kind of complies with what, or differentiates actually an alliance from just say a homeowner group, right? How does it elevate it to the point of being on the same level of a neighborhood council in terms of participating in that conversation with the CIS? The other thing is really the struggle that alliances had, and we just got an email from Ernesto about the simple business of maintaining an alliance. Being able to just even maintain a bank account through the department would be helpful. And to support things like administrative efforts and outreach efforts. I know with the Westside Regional Alliance, they just need $150 a year, every year, to maintain the website so that they can post agendas publicly. And it's like this bargaining thing that happens between the neighborhood councils, because for every neighborhood council to like submit for a $10 reimbursement, it's just too much paperwork. And so if there was some way to provide some support for neighborhood councils in a formalized way, that could actually help the function of the alliances to do more outreach. And so I think those are the opportunities. But there's also some challenges that I've been approached about, and I know others have as well. The question of jurisdiction that came up. Who knows? the department doesn't think they do. Does the city council, do NCs themselves? I mean, are NCs over alliances or alliances over NCs? It's not really kind of clear. And so I think we definitely need clarification from the city attorney on that. Then how are neighborhood councils represented equitably on an alliance? How do we ensure diversity of voices that represent the full diversities of neighborhood councils? How are people who've historically not been represented, women, people of color, youth, people with disabilities, ensure that they're fairly represented? So, you know, the department asked, for example, neighborhood councils to appoint a male and female individual to the civic U, right? Can the department encourage more diverse voices as they have been in other areas with alliances? What if a neighborhood council dissents or disagrees with a position of an alliance that they're represented by? How is that dissent recognized in a formal fashion? How is an alliance formed? Do the participating neighborhood councils need to vote to create it? Do they notify the department of their formation? Is there a certification of that formation? We have NC members here tonight. I mean, we could literally just form one right now, right? Because there's no formal process for that to happen. And, you know, there's this issue right now with the West Side Alliance. There's a new neighborhood council that was just certified, Northwestwood Neighborhood Council, and we've had other new neighborhood councils. And there's a debate going on in the alliance over whether to admit them or not and how to actually admit them, because there was no policy for that. And so they're a neighborhood council. They're in the West Side, but they haven't been invited to participate in the West Side Alliance. So it's a little unclear. So, you know, what resources does the department provide to alliances? Emails, listing on website, meeting space, funding? How do alliances represent neighborhood councils on policy issues? How do newly informed neighborhood councils get invited? What kind of outreach do alliances do? There's just a lot of questions that I've had and other people have had or expressed to me or given to me about the process. And so I actually think this is a real opportunity to spark a conversation on alliances. It obviously has already, which is good, and I want to encourage that. I want to hear more from the alliances. So I actually think what we might want to do, rather than forming an ad hoc committee, is actually create a working group with neighborhood council members and alliance members who are interested in addressing some of these issues. And I can rewrite this motion with some clear guidelines on what that working group would specifically address. And we have done this before, so it could be something that we can do. So if we want, let's see, I'd love to hear from the other commissioners in response, but...
I want to say something. I'm not making a motion. Oh, okay. I would like to comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Commissioner Maggie Derrick Carroll, first and foremost, ma'am? No, I don't know her name. Sorry for your loss. You mentioned that you had several. I'm sorry about that. I just want to get clarification because I'm a little confused, and I thought you were going to clarify it, and I don't think you did. Because I'm reading number 12. It says discussion and possible action to create the ad hoc committee to establish a policy to define and create a standardized guidelines and rules for neighborhood council alliances. So the way I read it, and if I'm wrong, because your clarification was a little different. It sounds like there's going to be some kind of defiance and some kind of standardizing, some kind of guidelines for neighborhood council alliances. Is that something that Dunn is trying to do, to create some kind of standard rules citywide?
I'm confused. This is the question I asked last meeting to the department, and they said, no, there isn't.
Oh.
And they said, this is a policy issue for BONC. And so that's why this agenda item came up. But there's obviously some need to clarify with the city attorney.
Because, believe it or not, I am one of the original co-founders of the neighborhood councils in the city of Los Angeles, serving in the neighborhood council for 11 years. And one of the things that I always felt that we needed was some kind of standardized guidelines citywide, because people just went everywhere kind of thing. I understand what she said. If she was a 501c, then we would leave her alone. Yeah, we would leave you alone. If you were 501c nonprofit, you will also not get city money. So it's a give and take kind of thing. But the way I'm reading it, the way it's worded out, it sounds like some kind of defined standardized guidelines citywide, which I'm for that.
Commissioner Schaefer?
That's the way it's written. So unless there's something else.
Well, first of all, the way it's written, I'm going to state my own personal opinion based on my experience with neighborhood councils starting back in pre-1999 when the USC Public School of Public Policy was holding meetings at the Davidson Center before the charter, the new charter, and then starting with the charter and on the various commissions and such that I've been on involving neighborhood councils.
Len, just remember that we probably have to leave this facility at 9 o'clock.
Excuse me, what?
Just remember that we have to probably leave this facility by 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm only just kidding, but.
I understand. Well, I've been listening, so my turn. I've been involved in formation of one neighborhood council. I've been involved in the development of another neighborhood council. I was involved with the person who was starting ARC and giving advice and such when that was going on. I'm familiar with Hank. I'm familiar with the West Side. All of these neighborhood councils are different. They all serve certain purposes, and some have bylaws, supposedly, and others have none. And I will state my personal opinion from everything that I've looked at and done. This commission and the department have absolutely no authority to define or otherwise create policy with regards to neighborhood councils. Now, neighborhood councils, I do know that alliances are afforded an email address with the department. Under the charter, this commission is not a management commission. The charter states point blank, we can make policy, but none that interferes with the day-to-day actions of the department. So if the department wishes to give email addresses to alliances, that's their business, not ours. The only thing that the city has ever done with regards to alliances was to resolve a controversy, and I know most of you weren't around when that controversy was going on with regards to board member liability and such with regards to alliances. I was part of it. And the Neighborhood Council Review Commission, under Section 912 of the Charter, recommended to the city that they establish as part of the administrative code and the plan that neighborhood councils be allowed to form and participate in citywide and regional alliances. That's the only thing that has ever been done with regards to alliances. Based on the way this number 12 is written, I have to agree with Commissioner Quiroz that it certainly appears that it wants us to form policy and regulations and standardization for alliances. And since I have given my personal opinion that we have no jurisdiction to do that, I believe that the city attorney, at the request of the chair of this commission, should opine on that subject, which will either say, yes, you do, and here's how, or no, you do not. I don't think there's any need or any sense in forming an ad hoc committee at this time to move forward with this until that is done. This commission wants to put together working groups to see if alliances will voluntarily do certain things. That's another thing. And last but not least, unfortunately, because of the difference between neighborhood councils, which are charter created and part of the city family, It is again my personal opinion that as much as I think maybe it should happen, I do not believe that at any point the city council would or should grant to alliances the same authority that they've granted to neighborhood councils who file a community impact statement after a Brown-acted meeting and a full open public discussion and vote by their board, the elected representatives of their community, to have time at the table that others don't have, which is why I totally object to Mr. Bonin's motion to grant that authority to some neighborhood associations on the west side. And I've asked this commission to take that up, and I'm going to ask them again in the future. So I think we should, personally, I think we should table this until a future meeting and have the chair request an opinion by the city attorney.
Commissioner Wiebe or Regalado, do you have anything to add or agree or disagree or a comment? And I put you on the spot.
Commissioner Regalado. I'm listening very intently to both sides of the argument. I think alliances provide a very important opportunity for additional community input and additional community participation. The alliance that I deal with, Hank, down in the harbor area, we have some pretty good people getting involved, along with participation from most, if not all, neighborhood councils. I think after hearing both sides of the argument, I'm inclined to lean in the direction of allowing the city attorney to give an opinion first before we start down a road that may require a lot of work, you know, and amount to a work that we won't be able to do much on. So I'm going to vote in that direction to, if there is advocacy that I can provide, it'll be to give the opportunity for the city attorney to give an opinion.
Commissioner Wiebe?
I think I'm at this point going to echo quite a lot of I'll just echo what Commissioner Regalado has said. As much as I've taken into consideration everything that has been said here, and hoping that what we can do is encourage the alliances to contribute their best practices. My largest concern is with neighborhood councils. I'm speaking as a commissioner and with the 17 neighborhood councils that I interact with, knowing from that experience that a neighborhood council worked very closely with the city to take care of some stakeholder issues, and then an alliance that I had never heard of and they had never heard of came in and stopped the action. And it's not one that I've heard of tonight. So if it's not a matter of creating something that is standardized, then I certainly hope that it's a matter of sharing the best practices from these alliances. And I would also say that within my neighborhood councils, there are alliances that work beautifully. And how does that happen? Well, you know, because you're in alliances that work well together. But the unfortunate situation of some entities that may not have anything other than a personal agenda or a one-issue agenda, and then using the term alliance is what I'm afraid we have come up against, and that's what we would hope would not be perpetuated, the misuse of the term alliance, and that overriding the neighborhood council. So that's certainly where I'm coming from, and again, I'm just going to say, I think at this point, I would go along with Commissioner Rigoletto and hope that we can either have...
I have a question on procedure. Some folks came in late for the meeting. Are they allowed to give their opinion on public comment? Can I extend the public comment period?
It's up to the chair. It's still open and open for discussion.
Okay. Well, I don't want to cause anybody not to be able to communicate to us. So I'll open public comment a little bit okay. for the folks
so
that came
in late.
So just
in conclusion, it's tough, and at the same time, I think.
Pardon me?
I'm just saying in conclusion that it's difficult, and I appreciate everyone being here, and I think all of the comments that have been made are.
So what's your point?
My point is that I think that we should not, that we should look for...
Not open public comment anymore?
No. No, that we should seek an opinion from the city attorney have a focus group.
Opinion. Oh, I got your opinion. Okay.
Yeah, okay. She All got right. my opinion.
All
Good.
Right. But let me go back to the public, and then I'll carry on. But I just want to be sure that everybody gets a chance to speak. And so I left off with Ms. Enix. So Cindy Claghorn. Good evening.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you very much. Just really quickly, some folks know that I chair PlanCheck NC and also work on the Congress Planning Committee. And those may be considered alliances. I don't know how they got maybe that title, but I just wanted to point out that the PlanCheck NC is an educational grassroots group that meets the second Saturday of every month, and it's all about getting education out to our neighborhood councils, and it's been a great partnership with the City Planning Department. This is how neighborhood councils get issues back into their neighborhood councils, and they can then take positions from there. It's not something that, it's purely educational, so I just wanted to make clarify for that. And as far as the Congress is concerned, we plan an event, the annual event on the fourth Saturday of the month, which I hope you all have on your calendar. So we're mainly taking care of all the little details in partnership with the department. I really think that there's some bigger issues that BONC could be taking up. And one has to do with hate and the legal our legal side of things. There needs to be more support to neighborhood councils and to the department from a legal standpoint. I know you have city attorneys, but you need more, and you need it faster and better. There's also a huge need for overcoming the hate that goes on in and within neighborhood councils at the present time. And I hope that you can take that topic up, and I'll be happy to get into more detail with you on that if you wish. But those, you need to be supportive of the neighborhood councils, and this is on the ground with them, and be visiting and more visible, because how you have conducted your meeting and the deliberations that you have gone through, the neighborhood councils need to take that up as well. And it's missing, and I hope that you can be a guiding force. So take up something that's that will go back to the councils and the stakeholders right away or in due time.
Time.
And not this. Thank you.
The little ring-a-ding is time. Okay. Lydia Grant.
Hi, thank you for opening the comments up again. I appreciate it. I attend LANC meetings. I've attended many of the Alliance meetings over time, and I see the Alliance meetings as a support base for the neighborhood councils. A lot of information comes from them. There's a lot of education. There's also camaraderie and other things where we can share ideas and share opinions, and I really do feel that it would be a huge hit to the neighbor council system to do anything with the alliances, you could run into some very serious problems with that, like people's right to free speech and people's right to assembly if you start heading down that path. Also, I feel that any discussions about it should be done in more of a working group setting and not privately in ad hoc committee meetings, because this does affect the neighborhood councils and they should have a right to be at the table having the discussion. This is neighborhood councils are all about open and transparent and following the Brown Act. But when you go into ad hoc committees on the commission, and I know because I was a former commissioner, you're shutting out the neighborhood councils who are supposed to be part of that conversation. So I just wanted to make that opinion, and I agree with Cindy, there's other issues that need to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sandy Capps. No? Okay. And I think that's everybody. All right, I'll give my opinion. This was something like, this whole issue coming up in the last couple of weeks was like mob rule. It's like you hear one thing and all of a sudden it's become a big catastrophe and we're going to have all kinds of rules and we're going to tell the alliances what to do. Now, we all know that alliances serve a purpose and they bring neighborhood councils together, and what at least on my part, and I don't think it just from hearing the other commissioners on their part, that we somehow were going to have some onerous rules where you on how you would perform. And there's no way we would do anything like that, even talking about some kind of guidelines, without conferring with alliances and neighborhood councils on how to make the alliances better. In a lot of instances, alliances and neighborhood councils could do a lot better in how they react with each other. So first of all, and I think we did, I think this was worded very strictly, like we were going to actually create standardized guideline and roles for neighborhood councils, when it probably should have just said that there would be a discussion to talk about improvement of alliances or something like that, something a little bit more non-scary, I guess. I saw these emails and I said, what the heck is going on?
What are they talking about?
I said, gee, money. Because I am like, Joy, it was like, I go to South LA, I haven't been lately, but when I went to South LA Alliance, it's only the neighborhood councils that come and they discuss issues. They take it back to their neighborhood councils when something interesting comes up, and then that neighborhood council decides what they want to do. Do they want to do a community impact statement? Great. If not, they'll do a letter or whatever. So to me, I wasn't quite getting the seriousness of it until I heard and have been hearing for quite a long time about non-neighborhood councils looking for the same rights as neighborhood councils that go through the chartering process, get their funds from the city, have to follow the treasury rules, and there are non-neighborhood councils that feel like, well, if we go on this alliance, we ought to be able to do the same thing as neighborhood councils. And that was something that we were a little bit concerned about and we wanted to look at. And that's something, of course, that we would send to the city attorney that's the aspect that I was interested in. I am inclined to accept a motion, because I got it from the vast majority of the commission, that we table this, and I'll entertain a motion to table this and refer to the city attorney.
May I be recognized? Commissioner Schaefer, I then would make a motion to table this and request that the chair get an opinion from the city attorney. That's not a formal motion, that's just a request. But the formal motion is to table the matter until a future meeting.
All right, so.
Second. Commissioner Rigoletto, second.
Okay, so that was a motion by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Rigoletto to table, refer to city attorney to get an opinion back to the chair regarding jurisdiction over alliances. Any further discussion? Nope. All in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. All right, it's unanimous.
Okay.
And that will be tabled and sent to the city attorney. All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the discussion. That was way more serious than I thought. Number
13. Do we need an ad hoc committee?
Discussion and possible action. I remember this. Discussion and possible action to create the ad hoc committee to have written minutes added to the 2016-01 minute policy. I think that's for our minutes.
No.
Is that for our minutes?
No.
It's for the.
May I?
Please. Clarify, because I wasn't on the agenda call.
So first, I'm not sure why we'd need an ad hoc committee. It would just be a motion. But we passed a policy with regards to the posting of minutes by neighborhood councils. And there are those neighborhood councils, or at least one, maybe more than one, that believes and has apparently been advised that as long as they put a video of their meeting up on a website, that substitutes for minutes, because there's nothing in our policy that says written minutes. So that was merely to correct that one item within the our policy.
So we need an ad hoc committee?
Well, yeah, so that was my question. I mean, I when we had the agenda setting meeting, I was like, if we're just adding a word, why do we need an ad hoc committee for that? Why can't we just bring that up at the next meeting and take action on that? That seems like something that doesn't need a creation of an ad hoc committee. We can just discuss it publicly.
I think it's close enough to amend it to just...
Is there a legal thing that we have to have an ad hoc committee to discuss that issue, or can't we just say that we want to?
I don't think that there's a reason. It's just a clarification in your policy. I don't know that there needs to be an ad hoc committee.
I
don't
think we need a committee.
So we just want to clarify, I would assume then that we just want to clarify that under the 2016-01 minute policy that we want, that we are referring to written minutes being posted.
Could I make a formal motion?
Sure.
I think this is close enough to, and my motion would be that we add the word written prior to minutes, so that it is written minutes for our 2016-01 minute policy. That would be my motion.
Right. Is there a second?
I would second that, but I would like to see the full policy with that addition, the full thing.
Table this till next to the
Not
next meeting.
Table it, but I would support a motion that says, you know, let's bring this amended policy up to the next commission meeting for input from, you know, because I just think, you know, it'd be good for people to, like, see the full policy again for educational purposes.
Why don't we?
I like that.
Okay.
And let's just add it, and then we'll just discuss it in the next meeting.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Yes.
And move to indefinitely table number 13 and request that on our, that would be my motion, would be to indefinitely table. That means it goes away. And that at our next meeting, I would ask the agenda setting committee to merely have a motion to amend our policy to written.
Yeah.
So that my motion would be to indefinitely table.
All right. And then we'll agendize for the next meeting to modify. All right.
Joy, we need to have a second and then vote on the indefinitely table.
So that was a motion by Commissioner Schaefer to indefinitely table his motion. Can I have a second?
Commissioner Maggie Derrick Carroll will second that motion.
Okay, seconded by Commissioner Derrick Carroll. So it's been moved and second. All in favor of tabling this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose?
Aye.
All right. All right, motion passed. Thank you very much. And Lily, make a note to remind us on the agenda setting call that we put that on the agenda to provide a written amendment.
I second that.
Okay. Okay. Item number
14?
D- discussion and possible action to create an ad hoc committee to consider adopting a uniform removal policy in all the neighborhood council bylaws. Is that removal of board members?
Removal of cats?
That would be, I presume that they're looking at censure and removal.
Okay, I missed the agenda call, so you have to refresh my memory on this, staff. So it says discussion on possible action to create the ad hoc committee to consider adopting a uniform removal policy in all the neighborhood council bylaws. And I think there had been some discussion in the past that there wasn't a kind of uniform policy on how that occurs.
Do we have public comment on this one?
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Oh, do we have public comment on this one? Public comment?
I guess we do now. You actually could have started talking and fill out the thing later.
Yeah. Cindy, we're not an alliance. The Congress isn't an alliance because the plan calls for the Congress. Remember how you got stuck with that?
Yeah, it does call.
I do.
I think you'll start seeing.